last week brought a glimmer of good economic news to a state and nation that have grown all too used to the doldrums. The U.S. Census Bureau reported that Americans at nearly every level saw their incomes jump at an average of better than 5%. Yes, the rich got richer, but the poor got richer too, and so did the middle. The census showed young and old, women and men, white, black, and brown, and immigrants all saw economic advances. After years of stagnation, a rising tide is finally lifting the quahogger skiffs and the luxury yachts. Economists on the left and right will argue about the reasons. And we should all approach this report with a note of caution, says Rick McIntyre, chairman of the economics department at the University of Rhode Island. One census report isn't going to change the underlying causes of American inequality. While taxes on high earners have increased under President Obama, taxes on very wealthy investors are still remarkably low, says McIntyre. Then there's the decline of private sector unions, once the lifeline of blue-collar working folks. It isn't only the decline of organized labor that has led to wage stagnation. McIntyre says the mere threat of unionization used to keep wages up because employers didn't want their workforce to embrace collective bargaining. In an economy fueled by capitalism and the job-killing innovations it breeds, there will always be a need for stronger safety nets, says Liam Malloy, another URI economist and an organizer of the Colloquium on Economic Opportunity. If you're a 55-year-old factory worker who lost a job, society needs to provide some help so that you and your family don't spiral into poverty. Malloy says some of the Scandinavian countries, free traders all, have developed better solutions than the United States. Another aid for low-skill workers is to hike the minimum wage, says George Nee, president of the Rhode Island AFL-CIO. Nee suggests raising the minimum to the same level as Massachusetts, which in January will top Rhode Island by $1.40 per hour. Nee says that will be a top priority when the General Assembly convenes after the new year. Business organizations such as the Greater Providence Chamber of Commerce focus on the need to bring taxes and business expenses in line with our neighboring states. Next time you see a business leader, maybe you ought to ask why wages for our lowest skilled and least educated workers ought to be substantially lower than other New England states. Let's remember that the fulcrum of growth for generations has been education. An opportunity society offers a ladder for motivated children of working class families. This means investing more in public schools and colleges to ensure this path is cleared for another generation, particularly the children of immigrants. Some conservatives complain that such Obama policies as the Affordable Care Act and increasing taxes on the better off would crash the economy. That obviously hasn't happened. The top 1% is now paying about the same share of its income in federal taxes as in 1979, according to liberal economist Paul Krugman. Some of that money has gone to providing health care for the poor, ensuring that serious sickness doesn't translate to family bankruptcy. Liberals need to understand that helping people means just that, not killing the incentives of capitalism that lead to a bigger economic pie for everyone. The latest census report was a great slant of light in what has been years of a dark tunnel of stagnation. Yet before we get too giddy, let's remember that after adjusting for inflation, median household income in 2015 was just about where it was in 1998.